listening to C101.5 FM. The Hawk is on the air.
Happy Tuesday, guys. Thanks so much for jumping in here and listening to me. I'm Sarah Jessica, as always, and this is Hot Shots on Air. And tonight I'm hanging out with Shanika Maria. She's the Toronto-based indie singer-songwriter behind her self-titled project and also her ambient electronic act, Shan Shan. So you can find Shanika on Instagram as either Shanika Maria or Shan Shan, on Facebook as Shanika Maria Music, or on YouTube and her website as herself. And, of course, all streaming services under Shanika Maria and Shan Shan. So, hey, thanks so much for talking with me tonight.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here and looking forward to chatting some more.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So just to kind of give a little introduction, how would you describe your sound on both under Shanika Maria and then Shan Shan?
I think with Shanika Maria, my focus is more lyrical-based music, and I'm usually trying to convey some sort of story, some sort of experience that I've had in my life. So I tend to fall more on like allowing the lyrics to be the centerpiece of the music. So it will have like some acoustic elements. It can sometimes have maybe some indie pop kind of influences there. And lately I've been like dabbling with a little bit of like bossa nova feel in there. So, in that space, I just, try to put a lot of focus on like live instrumentation. And then in my Shan Shan project, that's where I get to explore a little bit more with production and, electronic sounds and, yeah, the focus more is on the sonic elements rather than the lyrics. Sometimes some lyrics with some meanings can pop in there, but it's more of like an afterthought, and it's more to serve the musicality of it. So it's nice to kind of have these two projects where I can kind of have like two separate sides of my musical creative journey to go on.
For sure, yeah. Who would you say are your biggest musical influences, and do they change depending on the project?
That's a good question. I think, in a sense, yes, and in a sense, no. I feel like for my Shanika Maria project, I tend to be more influenced by like singer-songwriters like Leon LaHavas, and I've been really liking Jessica Pratt. Like tend to gravitate more towards like female singer-songwriter moody lyrical based stuff. And then with my electronic project, I've been gravitating more towards different producers who bring in how would I describe it? So like some artists that I like would be Caitlin Aurelia Smith, Juliana Barwick, I really like Olafard Arnolds. and like Niels Fromm, like that kind of like classical but like really atmospheric vibe is mm-hmm. really appealing to me.
Yeah.
And then I would say in both projects, like, I love Radiohead, so I feel like I try to bring some elements into both of the projects. I'm really inspired by Billie Holiday, and yeah, I just want to like allow the two projects to live in different spaces, but also have some overlap.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Do you remember what you listened to as a kid, and do you still listen to those initial influences, and do you think that has an impact on your current style?
Good question. I remember as a teenager, I was like obsessed with Emily Haynes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so anything she did, like I loved Metric, I loved her solo stuff. And I think that definitely inspired me as a lyricist. And maybe in the sense of just like, you know, Metric was more the pop side, the more like production based, and then like her solo stuff was more stripped down. So maybe there's some influences there. I was also really into Feist, and I'm still into Feist because she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like digging back through some of the stuff that I was listening to. and yeah, I really liked like indie pop kind of stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
Throughout high school. Like Broken Social Scene, Arctic Monkeys, like that kind of stuff I thought was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. What did your family listen to, or what did you grow up with around the house, and does that have an impact on the music that you create?
I feel like I've come to appreciate the music both my parents listen to more as an adult. My mom used to listen to like a lot of like love songs, like Bee Gees, and like she just really liked songs that were like really like sweet and romantic.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad had more of an eclectic taste. And like as an adult, I've been like talking to him a lot about just like his experience as a child and like as a teenager. And he grew up in Montreal as a teenager, and he would like go to record stores and just like get music from like all different genres. It would be like from reggae to like rock to hip hop, and just like spend all day just like looking through records. And he's been like a really good source for like tapping into different artists. And like even I'll get into somebody and I'll like start listening to them and be like, oh, this is such a great artist from the whenevers, the 80s or something. And I'll ask my dad about them, and he'll have like all of these like facts and knowledge and that sort of stuff. I think the most recent one was the Carpenters. Like, I've been really liking the Carpenters a lot lately. And yeah, my dad just like has so many random facts about them. So
mm-hmm.
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Do you remember when you first had that initial sort of aha music moment where you listened to a song or an album and you said, wow, I want to create that?
I don't know. I don't know if I've been really moved by music.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I've ever had that moment where I'm like, I want to create that. I find that my inspiration comes less from music and more from like other artistic practices.
Okay. Yeah.
Or just like daily life. But I find sometimes like when I listen to music, I'm just like so moved, but it's not in a sense like I need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
I'm thinking about it. That's an interesting one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you start singing first, or did you start playing guitar first?
I actually started playing piano first.
Mm.
But I always loved singing. And it was just something, like, I was just always singing. And then I stopped for a long time. And I was just kind of, like, focusing more on piano. And then in high school, my mom had a classical guitar, and I started picking that up and just, like, learning how to play and writing, like, really bad songs.
Mm-hmm.
They were not good.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the three chords that I figured out on the guitar, I would just, like, make songs and sing my heart out and be really emotional. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember the first song that you wrote?
I don't remember the first one, but I remember a song that I made in high school. And I, like, did some production on it, and I made a really silly video, like a stop motion video. And yeah, it was not good. It was really, like, melodramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, looking back at it, I'm like, that was pretty creative of me. Like, I didn't really know. I used GarageBand and just, like, found some, like, MIDI sounds that were in the program and put them together and played, like, my not great guitar and sang over it. I think I just used, like, the mic from my laptop or, like, the mic. I don't even think my headphones had a mic in them. It was just, like, it sounded so bad. The quality was really bad, but, like, looking back, I'm like, wow, it was pretty creative back then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially for high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have people around me who were, like, doing stuff like that, so, like,
mm-hmm.
I was definitely, like, really tapped into, like, YouTube, and, like, seeing people do covers on YouTube, and, like, I would post my covers on YouTube, and show my original songs, and, like, I'm just reminiscing a little bit.
yeah. Do you remember when you started to look at music as something more than a hobby?
It kind of happened by coincidence a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was putting my YouTube videos on up, and I wasn't really, like, didn't have much of a plan. Like, I was doing it very sporadically. And I was at Humber for a year, not doing music. And one of my classmates somehow saw a video that I did and, like, asked me if I wanted to be in their band. And I'd never been in a band before. I didn't really know anything about performing.
Yeah.
And so I sang backup and played keyboard. Did that for a year. That was really fun. But then we parted ways, and I was, like, writing a lot of songs for myself and started doing, like, some open mics and, like, trying to get some performances, and, like, it was just, like, fun. I was just, like, really just enjoying sharing the music, but it was also super nerve-wracking. And then somehow I just kept doing more, and then I just started doing it, and then I was like, oh, okay, I don't know what else I'm gonna do in my life now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You just get caught up in a wave a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you study music or take any professional lessons?
I took some, like, I didn't go to school for music. I did Royal Conservatory piano up until some level,
mm-hmm.
that I've forgotten all now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I never went to school for music, and I think that was always something that I was, like, I felt a little bit self-conscious about getting into the music industry, where I'm like, I don't know. I don't really like have the basis of understanding, and maybe like, maybe the tapped into as many resources and the networks that you can kind of connect to when you go to music school.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I've worked through those feelings, and I've kind of like found my little niche and found, you know, my people. But yeah, I wanted to go to music school, but it just, you know, wasn't the path for me.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. Can you tell me about that first band that you joined and what kind of music you guys created?
Mm-hmm. So the first band I was in, the only band mm-hmm. kind of thing, was called Souls. And we were like half in St. Catharines, half in Toronto. And it was like we were a 5-piece or 6-piece band, and it was like country folk rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. It was so random, but it was pretty good. The music was pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a fun project to be a part of.
What do you feel that you took away from being a part of that band and having that as sort of your first musical performance experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like I didn't realize the steps that you could take to kind of like have a career in music or even do music. Like mm-hmm. I just, before that, I didn't even know like how do you book shows, like, you know, how do you do any of these things? And like, how do you record an album? Like, what does that even mean? What is going into the studio? I was like, so in such a different world than that. And then like getting to do those things with a group of people. And like, I was the youngest person in the band. Like there was a 10-year age gap between like me and the oldest person in the band. Like we were in very different stages of our lives.
Yeah.
I was like starting school, like, you know, getting curious about, you know, what I was studying, and they were like, okay, we're gonna do this music thing like legit. And I'm like, I'm just happy to be here kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I did learn a lot just kind of like seeing them kind of grind for it and like want it and like have that desire.
Sure.
And all of them had been in other bands before, so this was like, you know, they were really trying to do something with it. So yeah, it was kind of cool to kind of see that is an option. And just kind of see a little bit behind the scenes.
Yeah. When was the first time that you performed solo? Do you remember that?
I think it was at the Underground in Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
When was that? I'm trying to figure out what year that was. Maybe 2014?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And yeah, it was terrifying.
I bet.
It was so scary. And you know, all my friends came out, and that was really nice. And yeah, I sang some of my original songs. I was playing my mom's classical guitar, got all dressed up, and I was so scared. And I just kept doing it.
Yeah. Did you perform under Shanika Maria, or did you have a separate title, or?
Yeah, I performed under Shanika Maria.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't know. I don't even know how Shanika Maria stuck. That was at the time when on Facebook everybody was putting their first name and their middle name.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that time.
I think I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just kind of like that sounds nice. Like, that works. Like, I don't know if I just want to be Shanika and I don't want to use my last name. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the band name that I, or the artist name that I went under and then continued to go under.
Yeah. Well, as someone who goes by Sarah Jessica, I think it was a smart decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did your family and friends react to you pursuing music? I know that sometimes family can kind of, you know, think about those kind of negative stereotypes about, you know, uh-huh. art and getting involved in art with your career. How was the reaction for you?
My family's pretty supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been. I don't know if they really get it, which is fine. I think it's kind of like a tricky thing to understand. But they've been supportive. They come to my shows. They've come to my shows many times. They tell all their friends and their work colleagues and that sort of stuff. And for a long time, I was kind of like one foot in doing music and one foot in, you know, doing other jobs. And I think that kind of made it a little bit easier for them to kind of wrap their head around it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, as I've transitioned to like doing music full time, I think, like, you know, they're at a point where they're just kind of like, you know, it's your life, and they trust my judgment. And yeah, I've been pretty lucky. Like, I know many people who haven't had that kind of experience with their families being supportive, or just even like, yeah, just thinking that that's a viable career. But yeah, in my case, it's been pretty easy.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did you grow up in Toronto?
I grew up in Stoney Creek.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. are you living in Toronto currently?
So at the moment I'm in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of a person who likes to hop around a little bit. So I don't know if Toronto is the forever place, but yeah, for now, you know, while we're in this thing that we're in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until I can go somewhere else, I'm here.
Yeah, for sure. I know, right? Why choose Toronto? What attracted you to the city?
I was always curious about Toronto. Like, as a teenager, I would, like, come and do day trips to Toronto with my friends and, like, that sort of stuff. And, like, but it's different living in the city. And I think one of the things that's nice is that there are so many artists and there are so many different scenes. And, like, you can kind of find your area. But yeah, I was just very curious to be in an area that's so close to Hamilton. Like, it's not that far. Like, I can go see my family that lives in Hamilton very easily, and also tap into like the main city for music in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think is special about Toronto's music scene?
What is special about Toronto's music scene?
I mean, or you can say what you don't think is special about Toronto's music scene.
I think, you know, Toronto is a great place, especially if you're, you know, close by, to mm-hmm. kind of like tap into like another avenue. It is bigger than Hamilton. It is, you know, like all of the surrounding areas kind of like funnel into here. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think like, it's a good way to kind of like push yourself and kind of like see what other people are doing and just kind of like meet other artists and like hopefully have some opportunities to just like collaborate and like build community and that sort of stuff. But I do find there is a competitive nature to the city, even when it you know, says that there isn't. And it can be kind of hard, even though it's like, you know, you might be able to find more people who do a similar genre to you. It can be a little bit hard when it feels like, you're all kind of like competing for similar gigs or whatever it is. And that's kind of like my experience. I felt like it's a little bit difficult to tap into, and that you have to work really hard to connect. But, you know, eventually it does happen. And I think there are a lot of opportunities here. So those are the benefits. Mm-hmm. That's my diplomatic way.
Yep.
Exactly. It's all right.
Yeah. Who are some talented local artists, so I guess you can go kind of GTHA, that you think deserve more spotlight?
Life in the Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. So cool. Angela Nethersole, really awesome artist, amazing singer. I had those two right off the bat. I'm trying to think of some more people.
Because
there's so many people. That's the thing. It's like there's so many talented people that I'm like, I just wish we all could, like, you know, come up
together. Who's a dream collaborator of yours? And you can go big on this one, like literally anyone.
FKA Twigs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Mm-hmm. It can be
Kelsey
a different...
Kelsey Liu. Lou would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
To collaborate with.
For sure. It can be a different genre as well, if you want to kind of, you know, mix things up a bit.
Yeah. This always happens to me. Mm-hmm. Who else would I really like to collaborate? Oh, Chili Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a cool collaborator.
Mm-hmm. Three is great. Three is great.
Make some interesting pop music. Yeah. I feel like those three collaborators, like, that would just be, like, really cool. Really cool session, and strange, and like fun.
That'd be incredible. Yeah. You put out your debut album under Shanika Maria back in 2017, called uh-huh. Childish Games. Uh-huh. What were the main themes on that project?
That project was definitely in the space of like a diary entry, and I was, like, navigating a lot of interpersonal relationships and struggles, and just kind of, like, identity struggles, and just kind of, like, thinking, how do I fit in these spaces, and, like, what does this mean? And in that project, I was very, like, contemplative, but I also didn't, like, know when I was writing the music. That was before I was, like, releasing anything. That was before, you know, I may have performed them here and there. So I didn't write them with an intention to release them. But then when I released them, it was, like, a really powerful offering. And even just, like, release for myself. So it was definitely in the sense of just kind of like a therapeutic process of being able to just kind of like take the thoughts that are in my head and just like put them down on paper or sing them.
Yeah.
With a guitar or piano.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take to put that project together?
On that project, I worked with Aaron Hutchinson, And it was like maybe a couple days of recording. And then I think right after I recorded that, I moved to France for a bit. And then, yeah, like it was like put together, mixed and mastered. And then when I came back, that was released. So it was maybe like 8 months. So the recording was probably like a couple days, and then all the production and that sort of stuff happened over a couple months.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how long it took you to write those songs? Was that over the course of a few years? Was that a few months?
Yeah, those were songs that I compiled for years. I think I even wrote those songs like 5 years before. I think like Childish Games was a very old song. And yeah, I just had these songs that I like didn't, you know, I was just kind of sitting on, and they became the album.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How was the reaction to releasing your debut project? And how did you go about marketing the album as an indie artist?
I felt like I didn't really have expectations. I didn't really know what I was doing. Releasing. And I just kind of felt like, oh, maybe that's what I do now at this point. And even with the recording, I felt like I was quite naive and quite like, I'm just kind of on this ride. And yeah, I feel like the reception was really nice for something I didn't really have so many expectations about. And I honestly don't really know how people kind of like found it or connected with it that much. I felt like it was just kind of like music community kind of somehow tapping into it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Did you go about marketing yourself in any way? Maybe putting up posters or, you know, buying social media ads or talking to, you know, on, you know, newspapers or radio stations or anything?
At that time, like I did an album release show. And I had some help from an artist, Kojo Easy Damte.
Love
him. He was helping me out, kind of, you know, connecting me with some people to do some like press and that sort of stuff. Was kind of like how the word got out. And I think, yeah, there were some like some maybe newspaper write-ups or like, I don't really remember blogs too much. I think I might have did one radio show.
Sure.
I think it was like I Heart Hamilton. But I'm not sure if that was for Childish Games or my following album.
One of them.
Yeah.
And speaking of that album, your 2019 album is called Subtle Uncertainties. And what would you say are the major, like, thematic differences between this album and Childish Games?
Yeah. I think, like, when it comes to Subtle Uncertainties, I was definitely playing more with a sense of sarcasm and, like, self-deprecating humor in some senses, and like, but still holding that like diary entry lyrically based kind of contemplating and navigating heavy topics, but in less of a heavy space. there was like spaces where it's like you didn't have to feel like it was so heavy. You didn't have to feel like it was so minimal that you have to sit in the words. I felt like it was more produced to kind of like allow those emotions to kind of like sit with other things. And yeah, I felt like it was like a growth forward for me. Mm-hmm. To that project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How long did Subtle Uncertainties take to put together?
Subtle Uncertainties took maybe about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I had written the majority of the music between Childish Games and like getting ready to record the second album, Subtle Uncertainties. And a couple were older songs. There was one song that I wrote like around the same time I wrote Childish Games, so like 2013 or 2014 or something like that. But most of them were newer songs where I was just kind of like playing with like different voices and playing with different tones with how I was writing and sharing information. And I wanted like to have more like upbeat music sometimes and just kind of like carefree sounds mixed with like heavy words. I really like juxtaposition. I really like lulling into a false sense of security and then just like dropping some realness.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So
definitely a lot of that on that album.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Who did you record and produce that album with? Was it the same producer?
Mm-hmm. So I worked with Aaron Hutchinson on that one as well. Mm-hmm. And a couple other players and like some folks that also helped in the production were Evelyn Charlotte Joe and Jason Bhattacharya, and like they played a lot of the instrumentation. And yeah, there was like a couple other folks from Hamilton who like performed on that album and like just brought really good musicality to it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, we're going to hit pause on this conversation for just a quick second and play everyone a Shanika Maria original. A Proud Woman is an empowered single from Shanika's 2019 album, Subtle Uncertainties, about demanding respect in a relationship.
You're visiting, you're dancing.
anyone just joining us, this is Hot Shots On Air, and tonight I'm speaking with Toronto-based indie musician Shanika Maria. So you also create music under the moniker Shan Shan. When did that start, and what was your vision for the project?
I had been thinking about production for a little bit. I think, like, after Subtle Uncertainties, I was like, I wanted to take a break. I was kind of like, not sure where my next direction would be. Mm-hmm. And I had, like, you know, I've written music for a new project for Shanika Maria for some time, but I wanted to, like, allow it space to breathe. And I wanted to kind of rediscover my joy for creating without always focusing so much on, like, heavier topics. And that's where, like, okay, let me get back into this production thing that I was, like, dabbling with when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And started, and I got a small grant to make the project, and I had really no expectations. And I was like, I really want to learn how to do everything myself. Like, I think before I didn't really understand as many things about, like, how not only just, like, the music aspect works, but, like, and, like, all the parts that go into making the music, but also, like, the business and promotional and even just, like, the copy, like, writing that goes into making, like, putting out an album, and even graphic design. Like, I did it all, and I didn't really have a background in doing any of those things, so I just talked to anybody who would, you know, give me some advice on any of those things. Mm-hmm. And put together this project.
Yeah.
And it was really fun, and, like, there was no expectations. Nobody knew who I was as Shan Shan, and that was kind of nice. There's something nice about, like, it's hard to get your music out there when, like, nobody's ever heard of you before, but there's also, like, no expectations, and it felt a little bit like a clean slate. And it also felt like I wasn't really worrying about, like, how am I going to perform this music? How is it going to be presented to people? Because, you know, we were in the middle of, you know, this thing that we're in. And, like, it wouldn't have to be performed. So I was just like, I can just go to my heart's content and add so much production and add so much of this, that, and the other. I can add, you know, 10 vocal harmonies if I want to. And I don't have to worry about what this is going to look like being presented to people in a live format. So that was really freeing and really fun. And yeah, I put out the first project, and, like, I felt really good about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You released your debut EP under Shan Shan in 2020, titled Structura. What are the major themes on that record?
So with that record, I was trying to find a space between, like, nature and technology and, like, mm-hmm. you know, the things that we create and the, like, progress that we create as human beings and, like, the things that just are and exist separate from human hands.
Okay, yeah.
And just kind of, like, what that means. I guess I was really thinking about that a lot, like, being home. And just kind of, like, spending so much time with technology and, like, feeling so disconnected, but feeling connected through technology while also finding myself spending a lot more time in nature and a lot more time in solitude. And not seeing either one as like better or worse, but just like as these things that exist separately, but like there's also so much space between, and like that feeling of the, you know, the overlap of that. And I think that even came out with just like using so many electronic elements, like making music from my laptop is like, it's strange. It's like, it's strange. It's a strange space in our like music history, I guess you can say, you know, in our time in music, to be able to make music and just have a laptop. And also use my body to make this thing. I felt like there was, I was kind of like, I haven't come to any conclusions, but I think those were the ideas that I was tying, that were like swirling around in my brain as I was making it.
Yeah. How long did that record take to put together?
I want to say that I really started working on it like January of 2020. And then I put it out in October. So, yeah, however many months that is.
Yeah. I'm not going to count that. I'm bad at math.
Yeah.
Who did you record and produce with?
So I recorded everything at home. I actually was like doing some, so right before the pandemic, I was in Colombia and Mexico. And I was like putting together some sounds while I was there. And yeah, I just recorded, I had like a USB mic and put some stuff down and put some ideas, and grabbed a little bit of ambient sounds when I was like out doing some nature walks and stuff. But mainly a lot of it was like electronically produced stuff. And yeah, for that project, I was collaborating with Onglish, Brett Klassen. And yeah, like I didn't really know a lot about mixing, and like we were kind of like collaborating on like mixing and like sending stuff back and forth. And then yeah, for like mastering, I worked with Caspo, and yeah, they did a really good job, and it was just like really cool to like enter this new place and like tap into collaborators to kind of like get me on the direction I needed to go in and make this thing.
Yeah, totally. What was the general public reaction like to your new sound and style?
Well, like I think people were a little bit confused. People who knew my other music like were a little bit confused, but I think I was like generally positive. I think it's like kind of like got me into the spaces that I needed to get into and like start moving in that direction. And yeah, it was positive.
Well, fantastic. Do you have a favorite track on the EP?
I love Silk. Or Hollow. You know what? I like all the songs.
Yeah, there we go.
Let's be honest here. I'm like, when I started saying that, I'm like, no, but Growth is pretty great. Yeah, I really liked this project. And I made music I wanted to listen to, pretty much. And yeah, I think they all serve different purposes. And like, yeah, like I like Growth because I really like the instrumental stuff that I was doing on it, and then it just has like stacked harmonies at the end that just kind of come out of nowhere, and like I love stacked harmonies.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Hollow, like kind of has a little bit of a different feel. Like it still fits in the world of the other songs, but it kind of like has a little bit more of a darkness and a rhythmic rumble, I guess, if that even makes sense.
Yeah, it does. For sure. What do you hope your listeners take away from Structura?
I think, so with Structura, I want my listeners to be taken on a bit of a journey. I want it to be something where it's like, it invokes calmness, but it also invokes flow. Flow in the sense of just like, it could be like you're moving to it and your movement is very like flowing, or a sense of just like energy just kind of moving through your body and just like feeling grounded.
You recently performed at the Casbah opening for Basement Revolver. I believe this was the first time that you've performed live since the pandemic. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. How did you get involved with that show?
So on my most recent project that I am in the process of releasing, the songs were mixed by Namal of Basement Revolver. And yeah, they reached out to me, letting me know that they were doing a show. And yeah, that's just kind of how it all came together.
Yeah, yeah. How was the turnout for that show? I know since I was there, but if you want to tell the listeners.
There was a really good turnout. It was a really nice show. It was so well done. And like, it was like nice to be around people and for me to perform for people again in person was extremely nerve-wracking, but like,
yeah,
it felt good. There was like a good energy there.
Oh, 100%. How does it feel to finally be performing as a musician again?
It feels, in one sense, really positive to be able to have a moment, like to be able to share something and like it be fleeting. It just exists in that moment, a moment, and like, you know, people are there witnessing and like living that moment with you. Like, I think there's something really special about that, and really like we need that just as like human beings. But I think, like, for me, like, finding, like, a healthy balance in the performance and, like, the giving and, like, filling myself up with, like, creating and just, like, yeah, doing the things that, like, I kind of need to kind of, like, you know, make me feel really good when I am performing. Yeah, it has to be a little bit more of the focus, and yeah, just, you know, a lot of artists went through a really hard time, and I think there should be a push to like make sure that like performances are as enjoyable for the audiences as it is for the performers, and like not just maybe lucrative for music venues or that sort of stuff. Like, you know, like just making sure that like everybody is like really having good energy and like really like feeling good about, you know, what's going on and not getting burnt out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the minimum we can ask for. Uh-huh. For sure. Yeah. Do you have any other shows coming up? If so, you should definitely plug them.
I nothing like soon, so. Okay.
Yeah, no problem.
But I have a new track that just came out on Friday, August 20th, called Taking Time, which you could check out.
Yeah, for sure.
So I would like to.
Yeah. Can you give a little description about what that song's about?
So Taking Time is a song about really just like sitting and being grounded and like living in the moment. And I think like just like after this year and a half that we've all had, it's just like that reminder of just like patience and like calmness. And there's so much that can be said and that can, you know, do right by us by just like taking a little bit of time.
What can we look forward to seeing from you?
So I have one more single that will be coming out next month. And after that, I will be releasing my EP, which these singles will be on. And that's called Estranged.
Well, I'm so excited for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, anytime. And thanks so much for talking with me tonight. This was great.
Yeah, this was very lovely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, anytime. And you guys listening, you can find Shanika on Instagram as either Shanika_Maria or under Shanshan, on Facebook as Shanika Maria Music, or on YouTube and her website as herself, and all streaming services as Shanika Maria or Shanshan. And we're going to wrap up this episode with another single from Shanika, but this time from her ambient electronic project, Shanshan. Maladaptive Daydreams was released earlier this year, and it's a spacey, otherworldly track about preferring to look at a situation with rose-colored glasses instead of facing the unknown future.
Hi guys, this is Shanika Maria, and you're listening to Hot Shots on Air on 101.5 The Hawk.